There was something in our declarations today that I want to just kind of talk about just a second, my sermon before the sermon. I think it's real important that we repent over a spirit of poverty. Amen. Because the spirit of poverty affects, it was in our declaration today, and the spirit of poverty affects everything in our life. When we think of poverty, we typically think of finances, and it does have a lot to do with that. But in the spirit of poverty, here's what a spirit of poverty looks like. A spirit of poverty looks like I'm not God's kid. And we are God's kids. We are God's kids. And so when you have a spirit of poverty, you're trying to accumulate on earth out of this wound what God wants to give you, and that's peace. You can't receive peace of God in your life and carry that spirit of poverty. This doesn't work. And so you have to release that. So I just felt really strong. Is it all right if I do this today? I mean, y'all awake? So I feel like just releasing the spirit of poverty off of our minds. And that it's affecting lots of avenues of our life. So can you just put your hand over your heart this morning? I want you to just pray over yourself this morning. And Father, we just release the spirit of poverty off of our lives, off of our minds, off of our hearts, off of our finances, off of our children. We break every generational curse and the lies, and we just say, God, release us today that we can live in the abundance and the goodness and the grace of God. And everybody said amen. Amen. We're in our series, It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you believe that your life is wonderful?
Yes.
And it's amazing to God? Yes. Even when you're going through junk, life is still good. Even when there's whirlwinds and storms in your life, life is still good. Because our hope is not in us, it's in the Lord. Can I get a better amen?
Yes.
Amen. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a little praise this morning. Come on, you can do better than that. That was so weak.
Woo!
Come on, come on, come on. God is good. And His mercy endures forever. We'll share a little clip from It's a Wonderful Life with you now.
For you too. And go for you too.
That's kind of funny. I think it's interesting that George here was tempted with the situation. And I've watched this clip and preparing for it, and it was made me laugh so much because, not because of what I'm preaching today, it's just when he got on a rant, then he wanted to just include everybody in it. Like, that goes for all of y'all, just the whole room. But the situation is that, you know, he's offered, he's enticed with the biggest house, travel, and a big fat paycheck. Now, it didn't sound like a big fat paycheck today, but back then it was a pretty big fat paycheck. That's funny too. $20,000, you're going to be the richest man in town. And so, but deep inside, he knew that there was something that was more important. And this really ties into a moment ago about spirit of poverty, because we'll go for things that are of this earth, missing the things that are most important. And we have a poverty spirit. We can build a big income and still miss God. Because it's not about, this wonderful life is not about how much money we have. It's not about all the things that we possess. This wonderful life is about that we know what our purpose is, and that we're bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And that is really our cry. Our heart is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and to fulfill what our Father has set us out to do. Yeah. And George knew that the plan that he had in his life was not exactly what he personally wanted to do in his own being, but he knew that there was a mandate given to him by his Father that was so important. And it just seems like that it took him a little bit off guard for just a moment. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. How many of us normal for us to all have times of testing? I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you do all that. How many of us that you're still going to be tested? There's going to be temptation in your life. Amen. As a matter of fact, I would say this. The more spiritual you are, the more temptation is going to come your way. Amen. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity and the nature and the timing of every test and trial you face so that you can bear it. He will not put more on you than you can bear. He will not give you more than you can handle. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out and bring you into victory. How many know that God wants you to live in a place of victory, not a place of defeat? Look, we go through situations in our life, and there's times that we feel beat down, or we feel run over, or we feel this or that or the other. That is the very time that you can recognize whatever's going on in my life is not the purpose of the Lord. This is not the will of God for me. It's not the will of God for me to live in this place of being just beat down, run over, destroyed. Because God came to give you life, and he came to give it to you abundantly and fulfill your life with joy and peace and goodness. Anybody here this morning? And so when we want to recognize that the enemy has tried to take out or tried to mess with us, then we need to recognize in these moments when, hey, listen, this that I am receiving is not coming from the heart of the Father. And it's very important for us to recognize that, because if you're not able to recognize it, then even times I've heard people blame God for the situation they were going through that was not God at all. Yes. It was not God. Let me just say this right here. We go through tests and trials, but listen, all of our tests and trials are not punitive to us. Not everything is some fun things are just life. Everybody say life happens. And when you're going through life and life is happening, don't overstate that and give the devil credit for doing something like, boy, the devil's really after me. Boy, the devil. Look, life happens. It happens. And so not everything that we're going through, be careful that you don't blame God, and be even careful that you don't blame the devil. A lot of stuff that we go through is really put on us by us. Can I get a better amen? So we're living in a place, our heart and our purpose is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Hey, I need a little help up here. I feel like I'm ringing. It's kind of like echo. All right. It's bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth and doing the very will of the Father, doing the purpose of the Father. That's the only reason I'm here today, guys. That's the only reason you're on this earth, is to bring whatever the Father declared over your life, whatever purpose he declared over your life. And the reason you're living, and I'm going to keep saying this until we get it, is to bring heaven to earth. That's what our purpose is. And we may go about our life doing different things, different avenues of work and different avenues of ministry. But at the end of the day, it's all about that. As we go through our lives and doing what we're supposed to be doing and attempting to do the very thing that God's called us to do, like George, we're going to face temptation. I want you to know it's not a matter if temptation will come. It's a matter of when it will come. Temptation is all around us. It's not always the same thing for everyone. Temptation varies from different things, but it's there. And the same reason that temptation comes is for all of us, and that is to derail us from the very purpose that God created us for. Listen, temptation doesn't come just simply to drag you to hell. Temptation doesn't just come like, man, I've heard this preaching all my life, like the devil comes along, he wants to tempt you, he wants to take you to hell. Let me tell you something, the devil wants to come and tempt you so that you don't live on this life abundantly. So that you miss the mark, so that you stay distracted from the very things that God has called and purposed in your life to do. I will say it again. We're not here by chance. We're not here by chance. You're not an accident that you're here. We're in this place and on this earth at this time and this very moment to fulfill the very purpose of God. And it's his will that was in mind when he created you. Paul, in the same passage of Scripture, reminds us of the temptation that the children of Israel faced when they were going through this journey. They were headed to the Promised Land, and there was all kinds of temptations that came their way. And Paul was reminding us of this in Corinthians, and then he says this: "Now all these things serve as types and pictures for us, lessons to teach us not to fall into the same way by casually craving worthless things and practicing idolatry, and as some of them did. For it is written that the people settled into their own unrestrained rivalry and feasted and drinking. Then they rose up and became wildly out of control." The very purpose of God is derailed because the enemy sends in these things to us, and then he lures us away from the purpose. And because they gave into the temptation, some of them never made it to the Promised Land. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, "You have promise over your life." No, you didn't say that like you meant it. I want you to tell them again with passion, "You have promise over your life." And I want you to declare that over your own self today. "I have promise over my life." It's so important that we understand that we have promise over our life. And so they had this big promise over their life. And let's remember just something for a second. They were in a time of trial and hurting and pain, and they began to pray for God to release them from the pain that they were under. They were like, God, get us out of this slavery. Get us out of this bondage. Get us out of this place, God. And as they began to pray, God began to open the doors and send them the help that they prayed for. Once they got to the place where that God began to deliver them, then they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to where they were because it became familiar to them. I want to say this to you today. Don't ever become familiar with what is not God's plan. Amen. Don't settle for less than God's best. Because when you start reaching for God's best, there will be situations that you're not going to understand. There are going to be, as you travel this, you're going to come to the place of a miracle in your life, and you have to trust God. You're going to come to your Red Sea. And you have to learn to trust God when you're standing at the Red Sea and the armies are behind you and you feel like that you're going to die. That's the moment you get to experience the grace and the goodness of God. Don't give up in those moments. Trust God. Don't go back to what you don't think, "Well, I just go back to settling for less and that will be better." It won't be better. It won't be better. And don't fall into the temptations that make you miss the very purpose God created for you. One of the greatest downfalls is when we think that this will never happen to me. "Oh, this is never going to happen to me. I got it all together, man. I pray 4 hours a day. My fasting life is perfect. Everything's going on in my life. I got it going on." Beware. Beware in those situations. Because when you think you've got it going on, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to try to wreck your life. That's his job. That's his purpose. And so we never can get to that place that we feel like, hey, this is never going to happen to me. Paul wrote it like this in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, all the tests that they endured on their way through the wilderness are symbolic pictures and examples to provide us with a warning so that we can learn through what they experienced that we live in a time when the purpose of all the ages past is now completed in its goal within us. So beware if you think it can never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. Don't ever let your pride, don't ever let your ego or your arrogance, don't ever let it get you to the place where you feel like you're above temptation, you're above situation, and that you become so full of yourself that you really miss the mark. One of the most dangerous things can happen, and we talked about it a little bit this morning, is to become so religious is that you don't realize that the enemy just comes in and he weaves himself into your life and he gets you just off base. Because let me tell you something, the devil don't want you to be way off board or way this way. He just wants you to be off. Come on, anybody listening to me this morning? The greatest temptation in your life is not that you're way off somewhere, but that you're off. Because in this little off place, this little place where you let bitterness or envy or strife or jealousy or anger or frustration or whatever goes on in your life, and we all experience it, in those little places that you're off, then the enemy begins to take you further and further from your purpose and what he created you to do. Right. It's very important that we understand that I have to continue to align myself with the purpose of God. And that when temptation comes, when those things come, and when Paul was writing, he said, he named off all of these things, and in the scripture today, idolatry and all of these different things. Idolatry is anything that puts itself above God. And when we get anything that's above God, or it's greater than God, any situation that's greater than God, it gets us a little off and gets us out of the purpose and the plan of God. As I was praying this morning, I was like, okay, God, realign my thoughts today. Realign my heart today. Realign my attitude today. Realign me today. Because you know what? I'm not responsible. I love saying this because this gives me a lot of freedom. I'm not responsible for any of you. Ultimately, you are. Come on. I'm going to put the responsibility on you. The responsibility to say, God, in this I'm only the only thing that I'm responsible for is to keep myself in alignment with God. And when I get off, when I get a little tilted to the a little way, the enemy says, I got you. Be careful. Be careful what you speak. Be careful what you say. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you let your thoughts go, because the enemy wants to destroy the very fiber of your being. Can I get a better amen? Amen. So we're all faced with temptation. There's no one in this room that's exempt from temptation. You're not exempt. Even Jesus faced temptation. And Hebrews 4 says, so when we must cling to the faith to all that we know to be true. For we have this magnificent King and Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands in humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King and Priest was tempted in every way, just like we are, and conquered sin. We often like to put the blame or the situation on someone else and another person and not take responsibility for our actions. Eve did that. Eve said, it's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault. Adam said, no, it's Eve's fault. We always like to place the blame somewhere else. We always say, you know, surely it's somebody else's caused this in me. And he went on to blame. And then Satan went on to blame both of them, and he continued to blame them. He continued to bring back the very problem in their life back to their life, and he used the very thing that they felt tempted to make fun of them. Everybody hear me today?
Yeah.
I loved it when George realized that, hey, I just made a deal with the devil. I just made a deal with the devil. He shook hands with Potter. And when he shook his hand, he's like, oh, wait a minute. It was like the Holy Spirit began to talk to him, like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that felt dirty. That wasn't what I needed to do. And he began to think, hey, wait a minute. And in that moment, he realized, like, I don't need to think about this. I don't need to think about this. I know what is right. I know what my purpose is. I know what my calling is. I know what I'm here for, and I know what I'm supposed to do. So I don't need to think about this. What I need to do is get out of here as fast as I can. I need to leave. I need to leave this place. I need to recognize who I am, who I'm created to be, and what my purpose is. Sometimes in life, we have to just come to that place like, hey, it looks good. Oh, yeah, man, I'd like to have a new house. I'd like to have that new car, and I'd like to have those vacations and those trips and all that, but I'm not going to sell my soul out to something. I'm not going to sell my life away. I remember an artist, and I won't call his name, but an artist years ago, I heard an interview, and he was talking about the music world and being a star and being in this music world, and he's talked about how that the further he got into it, the deeper he got into it, the more they required of him. And it was like at this some point that he realized that he was just selling his soul to the devil. He was selling his soul out. It started with just a little bit. But the more fame and the more prestige and the more things that came his way, he recognized that his purpose for living had been stolen from him. And he was reaching back into his life, trying to regain what was my very purpose, what was I created for. Don't ever forget what you were created for. God always provides a way of escape for us. God sent his son into the world and that we might be saved. And it's more than just the story of the cross. It's the power of the cross. That God sent his son, the very provision for us to be saved. But he also showed us by example that when we're tempted, that there is a way of escape. There's a way out. When Jesus was tempted the three times, he himself said these things. He was tempted and he used the word. He said, "Has the word of God says this. The word of God, I come against you with the very written word of God." You know why it's so important that we stay in this word? Because when our time of temptation, we can combat hell with the written word of God. Yeah. Can I get a better amen? Yes. Hey, listen, I'm not very good. I'll be honest with you. I'm not very good at I know some people have an amazing memory and they can quote scripture and tell you what book and what verse it's found in. And I'm just not that good at that. You know, matter of fact, I find myself more and more often looking up scripture on my phone or something because I don't have that great memory to remember chapter and verse. But this is what I can tell you. When I'm facing the enemy, when I'm coming up against something, it's amazing how much of that word you can regurgitate. Come on. He said, I hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. It's when you hide this word and every day your devotion in your word, all of a sudden it becomes a sword in your hand and you pick that sword up and you go after the devil and you say, hey, is it not written? I have the word here in my hand. I'm overcoming the enemy because of the written word. That's so powerful. Jesus told his disciples, just before the crucifixion, he said, can you not just pray with me this 1 hour? There comes a time in our life that we do need to pray, that we need to learn that in our prayer life, that we're submitting ourselves to God and we're staying in that place of prayerful anointing. So when the temptation comes, that time of prayer and soaking in his presence. Now, you heard me say earlier today, it doesn't matter how much you pray, you're going to be tempted. But it does matter that you pray to overcome the temptation. All right? So don't just let your prayer life make you exempt. But when you come time for a temptation to come, your prayer life might be the very thing that carries you through the temptation to resist the devil so that he does flee from you. Can I get a better amen? Amen. So the word, your prayer, and then let's remember the cross. Come on, let's remember the blood of Jesus. There have been times in my life when I was just said, I just plead the blood of Jesus. When I didn't know what else to do, come on. I just tapped into the cross, man. I tapped into the precious blood of Jesus. I just plead the blood of Jesus over this situation. I don't even know how to pray for this, but I plead the blood of Jesus over the situation. God, you're going to help me, God. I believe, God, because you died on the cross so that I could have this incredible, amazing, wonderful life. So even Jesus, when he was teaching them to pray, when they asked teachers to pray, he said, pray this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the very evils of this world. It's our sins were conquered on the cross for us. The word and the prayer helps us to overcome. There will always be temptation around us. We're surrounded by it every day. And here's one thing that won't help you. We see this oftentimes. To create more laws, to create more rules. Man, if I could just create another law, another rule, another way. Recent conversations about rules, man. If we could just create a rule that would stop this situation from happening. How many know that the rules are not going to stop you? They're not going to stop you. I was praying one time over the whole idea about the tree in the midst of the garden, and I was thinking about how that passage of Scripture is written, and knowing that it's almost like that Adam, when he transferred that over to Eve, he started trying to just make the rule bigger, just like, let's make sure we don't eat the tree, but let's just not go around the tree, let's don't touch the tree, and then let's just move. Before long, we've just pushed ourselves completely out of all the blessings of God, trying to create a rule to stop from getting, for one thing to happen. Rules. Sometimes we create rules for ourselves that are not necessary. And sometimes we let other people create rules for us that are not necessary. And then we have all this law and no relationship. You know what's going to keep us from temptation? Is relationship. When we have relationship with God, we have an understanding about who He is and about who we are. Then we're going to see these temptations and the alarm and the light's going to go off and we're going to go, I don't even need to pray about that. I already know what God has declared over my life. I don't need to take time and wonder if I can get by with this. I already know. What is going to be the penalty? What's going to be the penalty if I do this? That's not important. What's important is my relationship with God. That's the most important thing. Not the penalty that I reap here on earth, even though there are penalties because of circumstances and things that we create. There are things that happen because we plant bad seed. I understand that. I understand the law of sowing and reaping, but there's also things that happen because we plant good seed. And we often talk about the law of the bad seed, but what about the law of the good seed? What about the purpose of the kingdom of God in our life? And when we recognize what's most important in our life, it's easy to resist the devil. It's easy to say, man, I don't care what you do or I just resist that because I'm in alignment with the Father. I'm in alignment with the Father. I'm going to tell a little story and y'all can get a good laugh out of this. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to go to the pool, go swimming in the public pool. And I already knew my dad was going to tell me no. But I asked him, I was going to ask him anyway, just maybe by chance he would say yes. But I had my swim shorts on underneath my pants. I was going to the pool regardless of what he said. And so I asked him, of course he said no. And I remember when I was in that pool and I was, I thought my dad went off to work, and I thought, you know, I knew how much time he would typically be gone. And on a Saturday morning, he usually worked from in the morning till, you know, about noon or 1 o'clock. And I had it all timed out in my mind. And I'll never forget, I was in that swimming pool, and I was having a good time, man. And I heard, Marvin Poole, come to the front gate, please. Marvin, to the front gate, please. And I went, oh no. And I jumped down in that water and I looked like a hippo. I just had my eyes out like a crocodile. And I could see my dad picking my bike up. And he wasn't laying it in the trunk of his car. He was more like, And I was like, oh, God, I'm going to die. So there's no need trying to pretend I wasn't there. He had my bike in hand. So I go out. I get in the car. He didn't say a word, nothing. We drove past my house, and I thought, he's got to go somewhere. Grace has come to me today. He stopped at the woods across the street from the church. He went in the woods. He came back out, and he had a limb that had limbs. And when he laid that down in the seat of the car, I thought, I'm really going to die. I'm really going to die. So we went home, and he hasn't said anything. He said, go to your room. And he come, and he, yes, he gave me the rod of correction. I went to school the following day and week, and I was dressing out. And one of the young men said, what is on your back? I said, that's where my dad spanked me with a limb. Of course, I was wet, so it really, you could see this spanking on my legs. And he said, oh, I'd call child protection. I'd call child protection if that happened to me. I grabbed that kid. I threw him up against the wall. I said, don't you ever talk about my dad. I deserved the spanking because I was in complete rebellion to my father. Here's the deal. When we understand the heart of God, even when we get a spanking, I don't think God goes around beating us. Don't misunderstand me. But when life happens to us and we're in rebellion, we can see that God's bringing us into alignment. Why? He knows the better good for our life. He knows the better good for our life. He knows what's best for us. And his alignment is always bringing us into his purpose and to his will. His alignment is bringing us back into favor. Here's the deal. My dad didn't stop loving me because I disobeyed. My dad didn't just create this wall between me and him and say, hey, no longer can you be a part of my life. But he brought me back into alignment because he wanted to see the purpose fulfilled in my life. And I love the fact that God loves us so much. He cares about us so much. The scripture tells us that God, those who he loves, he chastises. And I think sometimes God just simply takes the rod and he brings us back into alignment because he sees the destiny of our life. And he knows the enemy's trying to lure us away. The enemy's trying to distract us. The enemy's trying to offer us things of this world that can just totally, totally, totally wreck our life and wreck the purpose of our life. And so we're tempted by things that we need to say, hey, you know what? I'm bringing myself into alignment with the heart of the Father and the goodness of God and the blessings over our life. And here it comes, Hebrews 4:16, and I'm finished. You guys can go. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy kisses and discover the grace. Discover the grace urgently needed and strengthens us in the time of our weakness. That's when God takes his big old arms of mercy, he puts them around us, and he brings us back to that place of grace. I feel like there's somebody here today, including myself, that just need God to put his arms around you. Just put his arms around you and say it's okay. You may have fallen short. You may not have done everything that you're supposed to do. There are times in our life that we fall to temptation. We make mistakes along our way. And all of us have. Scripture tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all stumble along the way. We all make mistakes in our life. But God's kiss of grace comes and takes us in his arms. And he puts us in a place where he can nurture and rebuild and revisit us and give us vision again. Give us his love again. Show us his love. He makes a difference in our very life when we understand who we are, what we're created to do, who he is, and what am I here for. This is my purpose. This is my purpose. You bow your heads this morning.